thing. Not because, well, it's winter, short days, not difficult, or that my stomach ever gets rest at least. No, just with this in mind, that it is Allah's command. And if any other thought comes, then at the time of when a person starts his rozi sahri time, then he should just think that I'm keeping it. Don't worry about those other things. I'm keeping it because it's Allah's command. And ihtisaba, Allah will be happy. Allah is going to reward me. In the greed of that reward, I'm keeping this roza. So that will be a roza. And then with the three basic things, not eating, drinking, and having sexual relationships, together with that, what the ulama mufassirin have written, six other things to keep a perfect and complete roza. Then we will get the profit of roza. We'll see the benefit of roza, and then we will enjoy it. Though it will be strenuous on the body, on the nafs, it will be strenuous, but we'll be just too happy to go through it. Just like a person who has to go for medical treatment, he has to go for surgery, whatever. He's going to pay for it also. He's not going to be at home, at work for so long also. There'll be a lot of things that his life will be different. And the pain also possibly that he's going to go through. But he's prepared for all that in the hope that he will get cure. And happily, and in fact he's desperate. Please doctor, do my operation urgently. Ramzan is coming, I must get it done before Ramzan. Whatever it is, he wants it also early. Why? In the hope of that benefit. So if we, then ye la'allakum, and Allah's la'al is not hopefully, is for sure, that you will acquire taqwa. We just have to do things from our side properly, and Allah will definitely grant it taqwa, and on taqwa is wilayat. A person, there are only two things for wilayat, to become a wali of Allah, iman and taqwa. Iman Allah Ta'ala has given, and now acquire taqwa, and you become the wali of Allah Ta'ala. And so many promises Allah has made for the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. The awliya, no fear on them for what's going to happen in the future, and they don't grieve of anything of the past. And many other, what great promises Allah has made in this world for His awliya and for the year after. So if we keep our roza properly. With regard to that, we were discussing about the roza of the eyes. That not to look at haram is out of the question. That at all times also. But within roza, don't even look at things which are not necessary to look at. Things which will distract us, that also we must not look at. But in roza, make particularly the effort not to look at things that are not necessary. In other words, just keep our gazes low. Keep our gazes to ourselves. By the barakat of this, inshallah, for the rest of the year and the rest of our lives, we will get protected from haram also. So the more a person can protect his eyes. In the Khanqah of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali, incidentally, one the friend of ours, he says he doesn't know why he's seeing so many dreams. He saw another dream also. And what dream did he see? This time he says he saw, I just remembered when I mentioned Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi, last night, that was the previous night, I saw Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah in my dream. As I stepped into the masjid for Zohar or Asal Salat, Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was praying his Salah, most probably the Sunnah before the Faraz, in the first saf behind the place of the Imam. So we are fortunate that we have the Tawajjuh, inshallah, of our Kabi. So anyway, in the Khanqah of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali, after the majlis, all the people went to their rooms, and after Zohar, and at Asr time, one person told Maulana, as you had trained us to perform namaz, and the performance of namaz has to be done practically also. In the Hadith Sharif it has come, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Perform your namaz as you have seen me performing my namaz. Today we can't see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his naibin, who are in the, as far as making amal, they're in the same status. and the vicegerents, the deputies, the ulama, and those ulama that have learned namaz practically from their ulama, from their seniors. That will be the namaz of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he taught them practical namaz also, which is an important aspect in a khanqah, in tarbiyat, practical namaz. And inshallah, yeah, at the end of Ramadan, when Anwar al-Salah will be completed, then we will have practical namaz also. And namaz is not to be learned from kitabs only. It comes in this hadith, kama ra'aytumuni usalli, practical namaz. So this person then went and practiced this namaz. And he says after that, he rested for a while, he slept, and he saw that the Hurul Eid, which Allah gave him in Jannat, she was blind after practicing his namaz. And then his Nurul Iqeen was blind. Maulana said, it appears as though you performed your namaz with your eyes closed. He said, yes, that is true. See, for concentration, Maulana said, that is now in return of that. The eyes must be open in namaz. Many of us, we make our whole namaz with our eyes closed. The eyes, the sunnah is, the eyes must be open. And not only open, but we have been taught clearly that we have to focus our eyes in every posture of namaz. When we are standing, then at the place of sajda, and not anywhere else around. And when we go into ruku, on our feet. When we go into sajda, on the nose. There, almost most of the people, we close our eyes in sajda. But it must be opened, and it must be focused on the nose. We won't see our nose. But to see your nose, which is right below your eyes, and this is also one great sign for our tarbiyat, that we think we know a lot and we see, I know everything, but you can't see your own nose. And more than what you can't see in your nose, if there is some dirt in your nose, you can't see. Everyone is seeing it and they're despising you. And they're thinking, what kind of a person is this? But you can't see it yourself, which is right below your eyes. Allah Ta'ala has made it so we don't think we are too clever, that we know everything. What is right below your eyes, you can't see that also. So we should focus on the nose. In a sitting position, on the lap. And when making salam, on our shoulders. Again, we just digress a little, because there is also important, and it has come up now, that in salam also, and this is one other very important aspect of namaz. The last time we mentioned two things to make namaz valuable. One was that in our niyat imano wa ihtisaba, that we are doing it, realizing I'm fulfilling Allah's command. And every posture, ruku also, I'm making sajda also, it's Allah's command. And ihtisaba, Allah is going to reward me. When a person has got that yaqeen that I'm going to get reward, then the quality of his namaz will also improve tremendously. And if he's just doing it without that Allah is even watching me, I'm just doing my namaz like that, then his namaz also will be like that, and there won't be quality also. But if that Allah is watching me at this time, Allah has made it for us, and Allah is watching me. Any worker, if the boss is watching him, see how much extra he does and how much he wants to make the boss happy. But if he knows the boss is not watching, he'll be also just sitting, smoking, not worried at all. But the minute he knows my boss is watching, see what a change comes into him. If that yaqeen comes into us, Allah is watching us, the quality of namaz will change. So another thing is, before we come to this which we are discussing, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum taught us that Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, after namaz, when he used to make istighfar, then he should make this muraqabah when you are making astaghfirullah, 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 that Ya Allah, maine meri jaise namaz parhi. I read namaz like me, and what am I? I'm nothing. What's the quality of my namaz? What kind of a namaz? Aap apne shaya nishan qabool farmai. But you accept the namaz according to your very unlimited lofty status. You accept it according to that. So if a person does that also, his namaz will become valuable. And then another thing is that in namaz, the making of salam. When we are making salam, Then one is that our gaze should be on our shoulders. There is also many of us, many good people, we are still very deficient in the making of the salam, the correct, the sunnat way. And it isn't just a matter of knowing and talking, but to implement it, to bring it into our namazes. So when namaz, for example, Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullah alayhi has written, salam starts in namaz, salam starts from the front here. You're facing Qibla, of course. And like this, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And the whole head must turn. Many of us, we just turn the head a little bit. Or we don't turn it this way. We throw it like this backwards. It should be like this. Keep it normal as it is, the head. And turn the head this way. Not throw the head this way. Or not just a little bit of a salam. So much so it comes that the whiteness of the cheek must be seen by the person at the back. In other words, turn your head fully like this. And don't move your shoulders. Some when we make the side salam, we turn like this. You know, the shoulders must remain towards Qibla. Exactly the same when giving adhan also. Hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah. We shouldn't turn our shoulders. The head must turn, not the shoulders must turn. They must remain on their place. So, and also, people with regard to health have said the best exercise for the heart is making this, turning the head like this. And if we make our salam properly, how many salams in our five times namazes, farz, sunnat, nafil, all, how many salams are made? And that is the best exercise for the heart. So anyway, so assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And the eyes must be on the shoulders. Yeah, many people, we are looking out this way. And some we actually go front and we make salam like this. To see who is here today for Fajr, who is not here today. That's not our duty to take roll call. Those who have to take roll call will take roll call. Malakul Maut takes roll call. And those who are regular in their Jamaat namazes, then one in'am of that is at the time of Maut. Malakul Maut himself reminds you, read Kalima, and then he takes out your ruh. For a person who is paabund, but his Jamaat namaz, Allah give us all tawfiq. So we should turn our head like this and look on at the shoulder. When we make namaz on our own, there is one niyat to make, and that is we are making towards kiram and katimin, the two farishtas that are on our shoulders. We should make the niyat. How many of us think to ourselves, we don't make the niyat. If a person makes salam to even a small child, and he doesn't even look at the child, he's got no interest in it. The child also takes offense. Forget big people who will take offense. You are not even looking at them when you're making salam. You're not even thinking about them. You don't know who it is, you in some other days of yours. And you made salam, the person feels offended. The kiram and katibin. And if the receiver have to send his text people to our shops and go and see how they're conducting their business, their finances, how they're handling it, then we will tell the wife also, prepare the best biryani of your life for them. And prepare the best samosa so they can write a good report for us. Kiram and Katibin are writing our reports, and we don't even give them any attention. So the value of namaz gets destroyed by this. So we should make niyat. If we are making with Jamaat namaz, then there are 3 to 4 niyats we have to make. If the imam is directly in front of us, then both sides we make niyat for the imam also. And all the musallis, when on the right side, for all the musallis. And for all the jinnat also. Jinnat are also making namaz. Make their niyat also. And kiram and katibin. So the imams, all the musallis, all the jinnat musallis, and kiram and katibin. On the left side also. And if the imam is either on the to this side or that side, then on the side of the imam, you'll make his niyat. On the side that he's not there, then you don't, then it's only 3 niyats. So this niyat is also very important. So what we are discussing is making namaz about focusing the eyes. So our eyes mustn't be closed also, And we mustn't be looking anywhere else. We must be looking and turn our head and look onto Kiram and Katmir. And turn the head properly like this. Don't throw it back like this. Turn it properly. And then when we are finished here, the words of salam are finished, our first salam. But our first salam is not yet finished. Then bring your head back to the front. Now the first salam is finished. That is what the adab, as far as the basics are concerned, the salam is complete. But with the adab and the complete perfect salam, the second salam starts again from in front, not from this side. Some of us start our second salam from here and we go across. No, we bring our head back to the front and there you stop and you start your second salam from there again. And again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And again, without turning the shoulders, etc., and turning the head right onto the, focusing onto the shoulder, kiram and katibin, who are here. Now, the words of salam is finished here. Your namaz is still not complete. Like that, it is complete, the basics. But actually, bring your head back to the front again. Now your salam is finished. Now your namaz is finished. Now you want to speak to somebody, speak to them, etc., when your head comes back to the front. So that is also, so our eyes must be open in the whole of namaz, and we must focus on every point in namaz. So here our eyes must be open, but here we close our eyes. And where our eyes must be closed outside or cast down, there they are wide open, extra wide open. And this is also a law, a natural law, that wherever you do what you hit to do, you don't do, you are going to do something that you don't have to do. When one, wherever something which you hit to do and you don't do it, you're going to go and do something which you did not have to do. It is a natural thing. So in namaz we keep our eyes closed, then we'll be keeping our eyes focused, and we will keeping them open where we have to be controlling them. And in namaz, if a person, one time in the Khanqah, in the markaz of Nizamuddin, they were having meals, and one person who was serving water, and the glass fell down from his hand. So Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali looked up at him and told him, looks like your namaz is still not correct. Because if your namaz is not correct, your outside life also is not correct. Therefore the glass has fallen down. Anything that goes wrong in our life, there is something wrong in our deen. And our deen is connected, as-salatu imaduddin. One of the most important pillars of deen is namaz. Namaz is correct, deen will come correct. Deen is correct, our dunya will be correct. Our akhirat will be correct. So if we correct our namaz, inshallah, our whole deen also will be corrected. So in namaz, if we look properly where we have to look, if in namaz we can control our eyes, then inshallah out of namaz the control of the eyes will come. And in namaz to control eyes is so easy. One main thing is keep them open. And yeah, don't look at other people who came now and what that person is, how he's making namaz. Many times we worry more of the namaz of other people than we worried of our own namaz. Worry about ourselves. If our namaz is correct and in namaz we control our eyes, then out of namaz our eyes will also be controlled. Once, in the masjid, there was a nikah. And they asked me to say a few words, and I didn't really think, but this also came in the process. And I didn't think of it, it was just all over, that if you control your eyes in namaz, outside namaz your eyes will also be controlled. And you'll be relieved of this big problem of your eyes just wandering around and looking around everywhere else. So after about 2 months, one person then phoned me, one Jamaat brother, good strong Jamaat brother, and nice, a good person. So he phoned me and he told me that I had the problem of my eyes, I couldn't control them. And he was sincere, he was a nice, good person. And I felt guilty about this. To save myself from that, he said, I made a second nikah also. Just so that I don't have to look at other women. I have 2 wives, I can look at them. But he says, still I got involved in looking. But since I did this 2 months now, and I did this properly, Allah relieved me of looking at other women, etc. So if we control, and in namaz, there is nobody with miniskirts here, nobody in bikinis here, nobody in swimming costumes or anything here. They are all long, long kurtas and long, long beards. What is it difficult to control your eyes in namaz, in the masjid? Very easy, but make the namaz properly and control the eyes in namaz properly. Outside, by the barakat of this, Allah will make our outside life also correct. So important it is that even in namaz, the use of the eyes must be correct. Then inshallah, out of namaz also, the use of the eyes will be correct. And also many times our students also, they feel that we have got lot of sexual drive, desire. We have to get married. But that is, otherwise we're going to get involved in other types of gunas, various types of gunas. The real solution, that is one solution. But the real solution is to acquire taqwa. Otherwise many married people, like this person with two wives, and people with four wives, still get involved in haram also. So it is, that is not the complete and final. The real solution is to acquire taqwa. Then even if you are not married, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the occasion of the conquest of Baytul Maqdis, Baytul Muqaddas as we normally pronounce it, one of the things those people did, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were camped, and where the masjid was, where they were making their namaz, there was a little distance. So the rabbis and the padris of the Jews, Christians, they made this plan that you can't beat the Sahaba. They are too powerful. On the battlefield, you can't. The only way is subdue them with their desires. Then Allah's help won't be with them, and then you can overpower them. For that, take your most beautiful girls and let them be laden with the most precious and most beautiful jewelry, and let them stand on the two sides of this road where they have to pass to go and make their five times namaz. As they pass their five times a day, up and down, and with these beautiful girls and dressed in that way, they're going to get tempted. They did this, but at the end, nothing happened, nothing whatsoever. When they asked those girls, they said that we were just like pieces of tree and trees and wood. They didn't even look at us. They hardly one but raised their gazes. Now we looked at their eyes, even from the side of their eyes, if they would look. They're not at all. So that practice, as we are coming to masjid, we're going to the toilet, don't look around everywhere. Make that practice just to look down, not being distracted at all. See then after Ramzan what Allah gives us. In namaz, control our eyes. See out of namaz how Allah will control our eyes for us. So there's a training period. Do this and see what Allah Ta'ala will bless us with. So in the Quran Sharif, where Allah Ta'ala has made haram looking at others, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And here Allah Ta'ala didn't say, tell them close their eyes. Allah Ta'ala said only, and مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. مِنْ تَبْعِيدِيَّ. That means some of their gazes. That is, when there is a danger, when there are other women, then control your eyes. At that time, control your eyes. So it is only from those gazes. So Allah only took a few of our gazes, and in return He will give us basarat, that is the eyes of the heart will open up. And whose eyes of the heart open up, he only knows what he will go through and what he will see. So so Allah there was one Maulana, he has passed away, Allah grant him Jannat, Maulana Bahadur Sahib in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. Very jolly person, and over the age of 90, and till that age he was to make imamat also. And he insisted on making imamat, though you wouldn't know whether he's reading Arabic or he's reading Gujarati or what he's reading at that age of his, poor man. But he insisted, so they gave him sirri namaz to make, and only he and the malaika knew what he was reading. So anyway, he was a very jolly person. So on one occasion he told me that the manufacturers of motor cars, they also learn from the Quran Sharif how to make motor cars. So I said, Maulana, where is that come in the Quran Sharif, how to make motor cars? He said, didn't you read this ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that cast your gazes low, when they are women, other, when they are danger, then cast your gazes. So he says, like you're driving your car at night and you got your headlights on, bright lights. And another car is coming from the front. You go with your bright lights, no problem. But now you see a car is coming from the front, and that car also has got bright lights. Now dip your lights. Eh? Now put your gazes low. Your car's lights, put them low. And that car also puts its gazes low. Both of you will pass safely with one another. And if you don't, you got your bright lights, that car also got bright lights. It might be on a bend also. It might be on an incline also. And it can be so dangerous, accident can take place, 8-10 people can die. Two cars can be write-offs because you didn't dip your lights. There, two cars can get destroyed. But if we don't dip our lights, your lights are bright, you're looking around. And a woman is coming from the front, and her lights are also bright. She's also looking. And just the meeting of the eyes have changed the lives and history of people. And for that reason also, woman, the parda is not just covering the face, but the eyes also have to be covered. The main part in the body is the face for beauty. And in the face, the most important are the eyes. When the eyes meet, they speak so much, and what messages are given by the eyes. We know what is the winking of an eye. And just by the eyes, they tell stories and stories. So it's very important that the eyes also have to be closed. And now, unfortunately, is a fashion that everyone keeps the eyes open. The most important part, some ulama argue that the face is not part of parda. The object of parda is to cover, to hide the beauty. And the beauty of a woman, the height of the beauty is her face. And in the face, the most important is the eyes. So many ulama, there are some ulama who argue that the face is not part of parda. And those who do accept that the face is part of parda, but they also, the eyes, they give permission, the eyes can stay open, the eyes also have to be closed. That is the most important part. And only where it's necessary, then the eyes can be open, where something has to be seen. Really, you have to see something properly. You can't see it with the niqab there. Otherwise, the eyes have to be closed. So if the two eyes meet, then what happens? Big stories happen after that. So therefore, the eyes must be also covered. So and Allah gave the command that don't close your eyes. Allah only said, look down. And what great wisdom there is. You walking and a woman is coming from the front. And now, if the command was or wrongfully, like in namaz, we close our eyes. If like this, we close our eyes. We didn't dip our eyes. We didn't look down. We closed our eyes. Now there was a stone, there was a hole, the woman fell down and you fell on her. The whole object is defeated. Everything went upside down. But if you look down, you can see whether there's a stone, whether there's a hole, whether there's anything else. Then you and she can pass one another safely. And your life is in afiyat, your akhirat is in afiyat, your dunya is in afiyat, your family is in afiyat. How many poor children, they are not this side, not that side. Divorces take place after this. Marriages, now they leave their partners and they go and get married. And this side, the children are left. And what great harm. Two instances I'll mention here. One is Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Saab, the Ahmed Barakatum, narrated this, that a muazzin in Cairo got up, those honored the days of mics, etc. So he went up on the minara to give azan. His eyes fell on a beautiful girl, Christian girl. He forgot his azan. He came down. He went and proposed for her. She told, speak to my father. If my father agrees, I got no problem. They agreed for the marriage. But before the marriage, and before he got her, he fell from a wall and he died. خَسِرَتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He lost his deen also, he lost his akhirat also. Dunya also, he didn't get her, he didn't get anything, all from the eyes. Another instance is written, one buzurg was making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, and he heard one person all the time at Multazam making this dua, that, oh Allah, grant me maut on Iman. So after he heard it several times, he said, there are so many other duas, make other duas also. What are you only making dua of a maut on Iman? He said, you don't know my story. He said, what is your story? He said, I had a brother and he was making adhan for 40 years. And lillah, free of charge. He didn't charge. And when the time of his death came, he asked for the Quran Sharif. We all got very happy. When we gave him the Quran Sharif, he said, I've got nothing to do with this. Today I'm dying, and you all witness I'm dying as a Christian. Then he says, my next brother, 30 years making muazzin, also free of charge. Time of mort, same thing. He asked for the Quran Sharif. He said, I got nothing to do with this. I'm dying as a Christian today. When he asked him the reason, lustful gazes. And many other instances are mentioned. Lustful gazes have deprived people of their iman at the time of mort. And this year actually is those who are now, who have made it their hobby looking at other women. How many people you'll be seeing a magazine or on TV, a girl dressed terribly or whatever it is, and you even tell your wife, in fact, look at this cheek here, look at this beauty here, look at this. So this, when it goes to that extent, where it becomes a hobby, not that you don't even think of it as a guna, this is extremely dangerous. And secondly, almost equal, those who are habitual to casting their gazes around, looking at other women, and no guilty conscience. Then comes the stage where a person knows it is haram, he feels guilty also, and he makes tawbah also. Inshallah, they will be saved. That you are human, you sometimes do get caught up, you do look, you do get attracted, you do look, but then you feel bad again. Ya Allah, make me maaf, it was very wrong. But those, and they talk amongst themselves. One time we were in Port Elizabeth with Jamaat, and we went for having some meals at one of the tributaries of the river there. And as we were eating, one woman came across walking, a woman dressed all in that way. So our host said, don't look down now. Allah has made her, look at her and enjoy her. So this type of attitude which comes then, that we look at it, it becomes a hobby, it becomes an art to look at women. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, don't buy a house near the high school where the school girls will be walking up and down, and then you look and you sit in your front room on your stoop, and you're looking at the girls walking all the time. When this habit comes, this is extremely dangerous, and where a person loses consciousness of all this, and he thinks that it's fun, it's enjoyment, and he doesn't make tawbah, and maut can come in youth. How many people in their youth die? Then it becomes extremely dangerous. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written one instance. A lady came to his shop to buy some things. Most probably it was towels or something. So he got attracted to her. So he told her, I've got new stock in the storeroom. Come and see there in the storeroom. When she came there, he kissed her. He grabbed her and he kissed her. Maut came like this, in this way. That he was deprived of iman at that time. And if we just have to think, what is one glance? What is one gray, one embrace? What is one kiss? And if because of that, you lose your iman. And then you lose your jannat, where you'll have hurul ain. And you can embrace them your whole forever and ever. And yeah, you get old, you get tired. Jannat, you'll never get old, you'll never get tired. There are no days of getting sick also. All the time, and what strength. So just for this, what height of stupidity. For this, our whole life is not compared to 2 minutes of one day of Akhirat. Akhirat is not one day, 1 year, 50 million years, forever and ever. And yet for that enjoyment, Hazrat Damat Barakatum, so a beautiful poem, that you got enjoyment for a little while, or daimi zillat mili. You got just enjoyment for a little while, and eternal disgrace came onto your head. What's the use of that? How stupid. And that you lose your jannat. And one time I found Hazrat Damat Barakatum. I say sometimes we go to places and lot of all this type of women, and you feel inclined. But I told Hazrat, Allah put in my heart that I tell myself, take your name at such a time. Abdul Hamid, just make sabr little bit. And then you're going to get eternal jannat. And the woman of jannat you're going to get. Don't lose, which Khaja Sahib's poem is, Lutfe dunya ke hai ke din ke. For how long is the enjoyment of this world? Na kho jannat ke maze unke liye. Don't lose jannat, the enjoyments of jannat, for the temporary and inferior enjoyments of this world. Don't lose the enjoyments of jannat. ye kya e dil to bas phir you samaj. If you did this and you enjoyed your dunya and you lost your akhirat, then oh my heart, you understand what you have done. Tune nada gul diye tin ke liye. Oh, most stupid and ignorant person, you gave away roses and you took thorns in their place. Or like a little child playing with a diamond in its hand, it found a diamond, the father's safe was open, and he took a diamond and playing on the road. The ice cream vendor was going past, he saw the diamond, he knew it's a diamond. The little child, 3-4 year old child, doesn't know. So the ice cream vendor tells him, my baby, give me that stone, and I will give you one ice cream. The child is too happy. Ice cream has got value in the eyes of the child. That stone has got no value. But the child doesn't know in that stone there are so many ice cream factories kept in there. So just like that, don't give away our akhirat for the little bit of enjoyment of this dunya and lose. And if Khuda Nakhasta, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum, Allah rewards Hazrat very much. When Hazrat comes in Josh on this at such occasion, then he says, Illa man taab. A person who makes tawbah, his gunas are made maaf. But we don't know, and don't on the hope of making tawbah, make guna. We don't know whether we get tawfiq. Inna Allah yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbihi. Allah comes in between a person and his intentions. What he was thinking of doing. Many times we want to do something, we even pick up the phone, we even dial, nah, I forgot why I phoned. Or even we start speaking to the person and we say, I forgot now, I don't know why, I'll remember again, I'll phone you. So Allah comes in between a person and his intention. You thought you'll make tawbah, in between, you didn't get tawbah, whether it is accepted or not also. There are conditions for tawbah to be accepted also, we don't know. So we shouldn't, in the hope, that is the height of stupidity, that we go and commit guna, that I'll make tawbah. We don't know whether we'll get the tawfiq of tawbah, whether our tawbah will be accepted also or not. So anyway, this habit of this guna, that is extremely, extremely dangerous. And the making it a hobby and a habit. Sometimes by mistake, you tried your best, and you go, like a mother walking with her child, and it's a rainy day, they come a place where there's a puddle of water. So the mother tells the child, hold my hand tightly, and so that you get safe, we'll just walk on the side here and we'll go past. But children at such time, they like that water. And the child makes its hand, pulls its hand loose from the mother, and goes and jumps in the water. Now the child falls down, gets hurt. The first reaction of the mother is to give it a slap. I told you not to hold my hand and walk near me. But if the child was holding firmly onto the mother's hand and walking on the side, the little place that was on the side, and now the child fell down and got hurt, the first reaction of the mother, my darling, you got hurt. Because the child was trying to protect itself, but it fell down. The same way, if we try and save ourselves from guna, and we fell into guna, Allah's rahmat comes on us. But when we become reckless in making guna, Allah told us, be careful, don't make guna. And we become reckless and we start committing guna, then the first reaction is punishment. So this is one guna that we should be very careful about, and we should save ourselves. So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala, where he's mentioned this command that we should lower our gazes, قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. And this is sequence in here also. You look after your eyes, your private parts will be looked after. A person who doesn't look after his eyes, his private parts are in great danger. You're going to fall into sin now. The next step is you're going to fall into sin, whatever type of sin, whether you get involved with a woman, whether you fall into masturbation, whether you now go on to porn, and whether you go on to child pornography. There are such people also. Big round topies and big beards, but watching a child porn all the time. And that is also, how low isn't that? What low mentality isn't that? That we go on to these things here. So if you don't look after your eyes, your next thing you're going to get involved in all these things. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرْذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Allah says that is more tazkiyah, beautiful protection. perfection for you. Look after your eyes. And then everything else. Inna Allah khabirum bima yasna'un. And yeah, Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi has written four tafsirs of Inna Allah alimum bima yasna'un. Inna Allah alimum bi ijalati nadar. Allah Ta'ala knows perfectly from the corner of your eyes what you are looking. You're a doctor, you are busy writing a prescription. A lady, young girl is your patient. You are looking down, you've got glasses also and tinted also. But over the glasses you're looking at her and you are writing your prescription. Allah knows everything what you are looking. You are a doctor and you have got, you tell the lady patients to go and change. You got a room and you've got a hidden camera there. Allah knows. And how many doctors get caught in all these things. Or anywhere else, whatever. All these things Allah Ta'ala knows. You are looking at, the wife thinks you're looking in front when you're driving, but in your rear view mirror you're looking at a woman at the back. Whether on the back seat somebody is sitting or somebody else outside the car. Everything you can hide from everyone in this world, you can't hide from Allah Ta'ala. And in this world, the first person to notice your nazri when you are looking wrongly is your wife. And when she finds out that you are looking at other women, then you just think for yourself, if you have to catch your wife looking at other men, how much you going to tolerate it? How much you going to accept it? Yeah, when she catches you and she sees, then she loses heart for you. And a broken heart, what can you put into a broken heart? If a heart is broken, sometimes with our words we break the hearts of our wives. What our actions and what we do, now when that heart is broken, you say, my wife, she doesn't respond in bed. She's very cold. Many people have this complaint. My wife is very cold, no attraction. What else, one thing? The love is gone dead. What other, some, all, what new words, cliches they have got. The marriage has lost its luster, all funny words. The whole thing, basically 99%, is that the man, his eyes is not going wrong. When he looks wrong, then all this, then it's a vicious cycle. And then you just don't come. And wallah, wherever you want to, you can put a stop to it. You could have gone right down to the bottom, almost at the bottom, right at the bottom, but just now control your gazes again. And your wife, let it give her time to gain her confidence again, and it will be like a complete new marriage. And you'll have again honeymoon in your marriage. You'll have the great enjoyment. It is mainly for the man, and that's why Allah mentioned them first. And this is one command. Everywhere else, I think, as far as my little knowledge is, there is no other command Allah gave to the woman separately. To the man, where Allah addressed the man, and in their address, Allah had commanded the woman also. Aqimus Salah is a address for the man according to grammar. But women are also commanded. Wa'tibul hajja lillah is also an address for the man. But the women are included all. Zakat also, atu zakat. You command for the man, for the woman. But yes, specifically Allah gave it up. And also our Shaykh Namat Barakatum says that Allah Tabaraka Inna Allah la yastahi min al haq. To say the truth, Allah is not shy. Allah says it as it is to be said. Allah calls a spade a spade. But when it came to this guna, it was such a shameless act looking at others that Allah didn't want to say himself to the believers. They don't cast your gazes. Allah said, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believers, what are they doing? Looking other places? You tell them. Just like your son, she's doing, is involved in whatever type of guna, whatever wrong. And as a father, you say, I can't tell my son. How am I can't bring myself. You bring, call his friends, you explain to my son. Or you tell his uncle, your brother, that please, you explain my son. That what he's doing is terrible. I can't bring myself that I must tell him. It's such a bad thing that I can't bring myself. Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. So great. Allah Ta'ala, he didn't say it himself. He told, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please you explain to the believers. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِإِجَالَةِ النَّظَرِ. That how you are looking from the corners of your eyes, what you are recording and watching afterwards, all those things Allah is fully aware. Inna Allah khabirum بسائر إن الله خبير بتحريق الأعضاء, the movements of your body. Now when your eyes went wrong, and then now you start speaking to the woman over the phone, whatever else, now Allah is aware of that. The signs you are making with your hands, with your eyes, Allah is aware. You walking, driving towards her now, you're making a date with her now, whatever, Allah is aware of all those things. And Allah Ta'ala, إن الله خبير بما يقصدون بذلك, what your intention is. And our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says this also very beautifully. Shaitan, if you have one rep of a company and he comes to your business and he shows you the sample, what he shows you, and you order from him 50 dozen, 50, 500, whatever of that product, he showed you the sample. But when he sends the product, he sends something else. You say, I don't want to see this rep anymore in my shop. You must never come to my shop again. You return all that. What kind of a rep? What sample he showed me and what goods he supplied? So he says Shaitan does this. He shows you the sample of a beautiful face of a woman. And then he takes you to her places of urine and stool, to the filthy. He shows you the sample of the first floor and drops you into the second, into the ground floor. And there you get involved in all the filth and dirt. So Shaitan is such a dhokabaz. He gave you a beautiful sample, but he took you to the most ugliest and most dirtiest place, the most filthiest place he took you. So this is what Shaitan is. So we should protect ourselves. بتحريك العضاء بسائر حواس سائر الأعضاء. And Allah is fully aware, the second tafsir, of every of your حواس خمسة, your five senses. Allah is fully aware now what they are doing. You saw with your eyes, now you want to smell her hair, and you want to smell her perfume now, and you want to be close to her. Allah is fully aware. And then all the senses, your ears, you enjoy listening to her voice, and you just want to speak to her on the phone. Otherwise, your ears and your mind, that is starting to work now, and then you want to touch her. All that Allah is fully aware. And Allah is aware by the movements of all your body, or of all your body parts now. And Allah Ta'ala is also aware of what you intend with this. So this is Allah Ta'ala has been extremely kind, extremely kind. And a person can only really realize this kindness, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. When you just see the pudding, you can't know what it is when you eat it. A person who makes amal on this, and many people thought it's impossible that this guna we can't give up. It's beyond me. I'm too much involved in this. And many people, when they got sohbet of Ahlullah, and especially like our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum and his teachings, they were shocked for themselves. And Alhamdulillah, quite a few of our friends also have said that we could never imagine that we could bring ourselves to this. Gunas, impossible for me to give up. Allah made it easy, for a pleasure for me to give up those gunas. Just choose the correct channels and you will get it. Not only by Karachi, but by Hadrat's, this also Hadrat's Khanqa. Yeah, in South Africa you will also get it. But just you reasonably apply yourself. And quite a few of our friends have said, MashaAllah, how we were involved and what today Allah has relieved us. And Allah doesn't only take away, you gave away basirat. Allah doesn't only give you basarat, but Allah gives you knowledge of His treasures. Allah gives you contact with Allah Ta'ala. Allah gives you ma'iyat of Allah. Allah gives you nisbat ma'Allah, just because of the eyes. And it's just a small thing Allah has asked us, and He's giving us so much great in return. And you'll be doing the greatest favor on yourself when you get this purity. Then further Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. And they must not show their beauty. Their beauty, lot of tafsir, the clothes is also beauty, the body is also beauty, and the height of beauty is the face. And the clear proof for ulama which ulama have written, that those ulama who say the face is not included in parda, then the ayat in front for all ladies, Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاهٌ أَيَّضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنْ, that for all ladies, no harm if they put off their clothes. So what is putting off their clothes? That means they must walk around naked. No, it means the clothes of the face, the niqab. No harm for old ladies, and that's an accepted masala. Where there isn't fear of fitna, the old lady can open her face. So there it is. And then again, the proof that it's quite logical and clear, the height of beauty is in the eyes, the color of the eyes, the movement of the eyes, and the water in the eyes. Poets read poetry and see how they have described the eyes, and what beauty of the eyes they have spoken about. Eyes have got great beauty in them. So that also has to be covered. That is extremely dangerous. Where the eyes meet, there can be a lot of fitna. So we should be very careful. So Allah Ta'ala has been very kind that He has cut this. The terrible, what a thorny and terrible bitter tree will grow. Allah cut it from the root, and Allah just said, guard your gazes. For a little while, little sabr you have to make, and then inshallah your whole life you're going to get sukoon. And what sukoon? And in Jannat. And who covers their eyes in this world, Allah will open the eyes for the hoors of Jannat. Look at your hoors then forever. Never you're going to get tired. Never old age. Never they're going to tell you a bad word or anything. Just have enjoyment. Just make this little wild sabr. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.